Say, it's time for...
All Treat. All Treat is the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
All Treat. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. With All Treat margarine invites you to meet the meat. It's a bright, clear afternoon in the peaceful town of Civic Center, and as Peggy is on her way home from school, a voice rings out through the crisp winter air crying,
Yoo-hoo! A pen! Hey, Peg! Wait for me!
Hurry up, Gil!
Hurry up, honey!
Gosh, Peg, you think you'd wait for a person. I told you I wanted to walk home with you this afternoon.
Oh, you said, Gil, I'm sorry. I guess I forgot and just sort of wandered off by myself.
Yes, you're acting awful funny lately, Peg.
Funny?
Not funny, ha-ha. Funny peculiar. Ever since you started going out with this mysterious new boyfriend last week.
Jimmy Jones?
How many mysterious new boyfriends have you got?
Holy cow, Peg.
Do you realize that you've known this guy for over a week and you haven't dished out the dirt about him yet?
Jill, I think it's a sign of immaturity for girls to talk about boys.
Are you kidding? My gosh. This Jones guy must be an awful creep if you don't want to talk about him.
He is not a creep. Jimmy is tall, dark, handsome, intelligent, a beautiful dancer, and very, very sophisticated.
Ah, go on.
It's true. The trouble with you, Jill, is that you don't know any older men.
Older men, Peg? Is Jimmy old?
Well, he must be all of 20, maybe even 21.
Gosh!
He's very mature and distinguished. His hair is beginning to turn gray at the temples.
Turn gray? And he's only 21?
Well, he's an old 21. And besides, he worries a lot.
He does? Oh, golly, Peg. I sure would like to meet him. Look, my mother said I could have a party at our house next Saturday night. Why don't you bring Jimmy?
Well, Jimmy and I would just love to come, Jill, but I don't think Jimmy would enjoy it.
Why not?
Well, because everybody else there would be so much younger. Compared to Jimmy, boys like Harold and Dean Barker are mere children.
Oh, so that's it. So you are going high hat on it, just like Harold said you were.
Did Harold happen to say anything like that about me?
He certainly didn't. He was right.
That's not true, Jill. Harold's just jealous.
Then will you bring Jimmy to my party Saturday night?
But I can't.
You mean you can, but you won't. Okay, Peggy Meat. As far as I'm concerned, you can find yourself another bosom friend.
Oh, Jill. Jill, you don't mean that.
I most certainly do. Goodbye, Miss High Hat.
Jill, wait.
Well, what do you want?
Look, Jill, if I tell you why I can't bring Jimmy Jones to your party Saturday night, will you promise not to tell a soul?
Well, you know me, Peg,
and that's why I want you to promise. Now, raise your right hand and your sacred honor. Cross your heart, hope to die.
Oh, gosh, Peg.
Do you promise, Jill?
Of course I promise, Peg. Now, why can't you bring Jimmy Jones to my house?
Because Jimmy Jones is a myth.
Well, gee, Peg, what difference does it make what nationality he is?
Oh, no, Jill, you don't understand. Jimmy Jones doesn't exist. There isn't any Jimmy Jones. I made him up. He's just a figment of my imagination.
Peg, sometimes I have a hard time understanding you. What do you want with an invisible boyfriend when there are so many visible runts running around loose?
Because Harold wouldn't be jealous of any of the visible boys we know in City Center.
What's Harold got to do with it?
Oh, Jill, how can you be so damn... Don't you see? I thought up Jimmy Jones just to make Harold jealous.
But why do you want to make Harold jealous?
Because he was beginning to take me for granted. And when a boy starts taking a girl for granted, Jill, the girl better do something. And besides, I heard very confidently from a very reliable source that Harold went to the movies last week with a woman named Frances.
Gosh, Peg, I got a feeling you're playing with fire. What if Harold should find out that Jimmy Jones doesn't exist?
Oh, I just died, Jill. I just died. But he won't find out unless somebody tells him.
You mean somebody meaning me?
Yes.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that, Peg. I'll be as silent as the grave.
Just see that you are.
Look, speaking of such unpleasant things as graves, Peg, I hope that your invisible man doesn't turn out to be a Frankenstein.
Well, friends, maybe Peggy's Jimmy Jones is a myth. But here's something that's as real as today. Your friends, the meat, Swift & Company and all of us sincerely wish you and yours the happiest of New Year's. And we hope that you'll continue to drop in and pay us a weekly visit every Saturday throughout 1949. Because we're proud and happy to claim each and every one of you as a good and close friend. And while we're expressing our fondest wishes on this New Year's Day, we might add that it's our sincere hope that all of you will let the delicate, natural flavor, the glorious golden goodness of all sweet margarine continue to brighten your meals, lend its wonderful savory goodness to all the food you eat, and help keep you well and happy with its abundance of marvelous nourishment all through the new year. Yes, all sweet, the margarine with the delicate, natural flavor, will do a lot toward making your new year happy and bright. So, folks, from all of us to all of you, Happy New Year.
Well, come in, Harold. Come in.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Meek. Peggy home?
Yeah, she's out in the kitchen with her mother. You wait right here. I'll call her.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, Peggy.
Yes, Daddy.
Hey, that was Harold at the door. Yeah, he's in the front room.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go in and see him, dear. Now, I'll finish drying
you. Oh, thank you, Daddy.
Hiya, Peggy.
Did you wish to see me, Harold?
Well, I didn't walk clear over here just for the exercise. Peg, how about going to the movies with me tomorrow night?
Tomorrow evening?
Yeah. There's a swell show at the Bijou.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Hal, but I'm going to be engaged tomorrow evening.
Engaged? Peggy, aren't you a little young to be thinking of marriage?
Oh, I don't mean that kind of engaged, silly. I mean, I already have a date for tomorrow night.
With this Jimmy Jones character, I suppose?
Yes. But for your information, Jimmy Jones is not a character.
You ought to know. You're the only one who's ever seen him.
What do you mean by that remark?
Well, I've been thinking. It's kind of funny.
What's funny?
How you can go out with a guy as much as you say you've been going out with this Jimmy Jones, yet no one has ever seen you with him.
Hell, haven't you? Have you been talking to Joe Donovan?
Joe? No, why?
Oh, I just wondered.
Look, Peg, you wouldn't be kidding me, would you?
Kidding you?
About Jimmy Jones. I mean, there really is such a guy, isn't there?
Well, of course there is.
You're sure?
I'm positive. Well, Harbinger, what are you trying to imply?
Nothing. I just got to wondering if maybe you just made up this Jimmy Jones guy.
Made him up? Oh, what a ridiculous suggestion. And why would I do a thing like that?
You make me jealous.
Oh, hell, you do have the strangest ideas sometimes.
So you got a date with Jimmy Jones tomorrow night, huh?
Yes. Jimmy is coming over, and we're going to spend a nice, quiet evening listening to symphonic music.
Look, if Jimmy Jones is going to be over here tomorrow night, I think I'll drop around, too.
Just drop around?
Sure, I'd like to meet the guy.
Well, you most certainly will not drop around.
Why not? Even if he did take my girl away from me, there's no reason why we shouldn't be friends, is there?
Oh, there most certainly is. There's a lot of reasons why you and Jimmy could never be friends. For one thing, he's older, much more serious. He's not always kidding and joking like you younger men.
Don't worry, Peg. I won't crack one joke while he's around.
Hal Harbinger, you stay away from this house tomorrow night. Do you understand?
Oh, gosh, Peg, I just want to meet the guy. Say, maybe I was right.
About what?
About there not really being any Jimmy Jones. Oh, boy, would you look silly if there isn't.
Hal Harbinger, you have the most suspicious mind of any man I know.
Holy joke, it's getting late and I've got a lot of studying to do. So long, Peg. See you tomorrow night. You and Jimmy Jones.
If you come around this house tomorrow night, Harold, I won't let you in.
Then I'll peek through the window. I'm going to see this Jimmy Jones or know the reason why. Nice.
If Harold doesn't see Jimmy Jones, he'll know the reason why.
Peggy, dear, you've done some very ridiculous things, but creating a mythical boyfriend takes the prize.
Mother, dear, I don't mind your criticizing me, but would you mind making it constructive criticism? What am I going to do?
Why don't you tell Harold the truth?
Mother, even I could think of that. Don't you see? I can't let Harold know that Jimmy Jones doesn't exist. If he found that out, he'd take me even more for granted than he did before. Oh, you know how men are. You're married to one, aren't you?
I'm married to your father, dear. Beyond that, I...
Agatha, dear. I'm home.
Daddy, now.
Oh, hello, Agatha.
Hey, dear. Mortimer, what are you doing home from work so early?
Well, dear, I came home to, well, to break the bad news.
Bad news? What's happened?
Well, it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to.
What in the world are you talking about?
Agatha, believe me, I tried to get out of it, but I couldn't.
Couldn't get out of what?
Having him to dinner. He invited himself.
Oh, Mortimer, I can't make head or tail of what you're talking about. Who invited himself to dinner?
Young Charlie Tompkins.
Charlie Tompkins? I don't believe I've ever met him, dear.
No, of course you haven't. Of course, I just met him today for the first time. He's the son of Dave Tompkins, the most grand exalted beaver of Sycamore Springs.
And he's coming to dinner tonight?
Yes, he's staying in town for a few days, and he stopped up at the office and introduced himself. It was just at noontime, and since he was the son of a lodge brother, I naturally took him to lunch.
Naturally.
And that's where I made my mistake, Agatha. I have never met a worse young man in my whole life.
Oh, well, what's the matter with him, dear?
Agatha, Charlie Tompkins is a card.
A card?
To joker.
I don't understand, dear.
Yeah, well, you will. You will. He plays practical jokes. He wears a flower in his buttonhole. It squirts water. And he puts rubber insects in the soup.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. At lunch, he gave the waiter a hot foot and almost got us thrown out of the restaurant. But I couldn't get out of having him to dinner. You know, the lodge's motto, beavers are welcome wherever beavers are, and that includes beaver's sons.
Well, now, Mortimer, don't worry about it. We can put up with the young man for a few hours if he's the son of a most grand exalted beaver. Mm. I'm sure he's not as bad as you painted him.
No, he's worse.
Well, I'll go start dinner.
Daddy?
Hmm?
How old is this Charlie Tompkins?
Oh, I don't know, dear. He's about 20 or 21.
Really? Oh, do you think, Daddy, that's just right.
What do you mean, dear?
Look, I can't explain now, but would you mind if I asked Charlie Tompkins to do me a favor this evening?
What sort of a favor?
Pretend that he's Jimmy Jones.
Jimmy Jones? Who's Jimmy Jones?
My invisible boyfriend.
Oh, well, that makes you... You're what?
Oh, I know it must be very confusing to your father, but I'll explain later.
Oh, that's all right, dear. That's all right. You have my permission to do anything you want to if you can make Charlie Tompkins invisible.
And then, do you know what I did?
No, Charlie. What did you do?
I took a pair of scissors, see? And I snipped off the necktie right below the neck. It was a riot.
I'm sure it was, Charlie. More coffee, Mortimer?
Yes, dear, please.
Oh, that's good and sugar, Mr. Meek.
Thank you, Charlie. You know, this is especially good coffee tonight, Dad, you know. Help! You, I've been pulled.
Oh, boy, that was a good one.
Daddy, what's the matter?
Mortimer, dear.
Let me get out of the kitchen.
Don't worry, Mr. Meek. I just put some salt in the sugar bowl.
Mortimer, are you all right?
Yes, dear, yes. I'm all right now, I think. Yeah.
Mortimer, I can't stand that young man.
Yes.
We've got to get him out of this house immediately.
You said don't get excited. After all, Charlie's our guest. We can't insult him.
Oh, can't we? Well, just watch me.
Oh, now, Agatha, please, remember, Charlie is the son of a most grand exalted beaver. And besides, he came just for dinner. I'm sure he'll be leaving in a little.
I'd be sure, too, Mortimer. Except for one thing.
What's that, dear?
If that young man only came for dinner, I'd like to know why he brought a suitcase.
Now, let me get this straight, kid. You've been shooting a line about having a boyfriend named Jimmy Jones.
That's right, Charlie.
But the guy you're trying to make jealous, he ain't convinced.
Yes. And nothing I could say would keep Harold from coming over here tonight to meet Jimmy Jones.
And so you want me to make like I'm this mythical boyfriend, huh?
Will you do it for me, Charlie? It's very important. Gosh, I couldn't look Harold in the face again, ever, if he found out there really wasn't any Jimmy Jones.
Look, baby, if I go into this act for you, what's there in it for me?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, how about little kid? You're young, but you're kind of cute. Tell me.
Oh, please, Charlie. Oh, my stomach.
Oh, come on, kid. Little kid never hurt anybody, and besides, I...
That must be Harold now. Well, Charlie, will you pretend you're Jimmy Jones?
Okay, Peggy. I'll sing along with you. What the heck? Anything for a laugh.
Oh, thanks, Charlie, thanks. I'll answer the door.
Hiya, Peg. Here I am.
So I see.
Is he here? Jimmy Jones, I mean.
But of course he's here. I told you he would be. If you insist upon inflicting yourself on Jimmy and me, Harold, come on in. Jimmy!
What do you want, baby?
Jimmy, I want you to meet a young friend of mine, Harold Harbinger. Harold, this is Jimmy Jones.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hiya, Harbinger. Take hands. Put it here.
You're a guy!
What's the matter, Harbinger? Do I shock you?
What do you have in your hand?
Nothing but this little shock gadget. Good for a lot of laughs. Hey, what's that on your neck, sir?
Where?
Right there.
Oh, my nose!
Boy, oh boy, what a square. You fall for all the old ones, don't you, Joe?
My name's Harold, not Joe, and if you pull one more trick on me,
no,
I'll...
what?
Harold!
You stay out of this, baby. Now, what were you saying you were going to do to me if I pull another trick on you?
Step outside and I'll show you.
Why step outside? You want to try something? Try it right here.
Okay, you're asking for it.
And you're the guy who's going to get it.
Oh, no. Harold! Harold! I'm Jimmy.
Stop that adventure. What, guys? Ain't got a sense of humor? Come on, get up off the floor if you want some more of the same.
Oh, my God.
You big bully.
Me?
Yes, you. If you weren't so much bigger and older than Harold, he'd show you. Harold, dear, are you hurt?
Take your hands off me, Piggy Meek. I don't want any sympathy from you.
Oh, Harold.
And I don't ever want to see you or talk to you again. Goodbye.
Harold. Oh, Harold.
What a jerk.
You listen to me, you jolly conscience. If there is a jerk around here, it's you.
Yeah?
Yes, now get out.
Get out?
You heard me. Get out. I'm getting rid of you right now.
Oh, yes, what you say.
What do you mean?
I mean, I like it here, so I'm staying. Sure, why not? It's a nice house, good food, and I've got a cute little kid like you to keep me company.
But you can't stay here if you're not wanted.
No.
No, I'll have you put out.
Now, look, baby. You wouldn't want me to go to this Harbinger guy and tell him who I really am, would
you? Oh, no.
I didn't think so. You said yourself you could never look him in the face again if he found out there really wasn't any Jimmy Jones.
Oh, but...
So I think I'll stick around here for a few days.
Why, this is blackmail.
Sure. But you'd rather be blackmailed than have Harold Harbinger know that you created Jimmy Jones out of whole cloth.
Well, I may have created Jimmy Jones out of whole cloth, but he was all wool until I met you, Charlie Tompkins.
You know, winter's not so bad, really, especially if you sort of go along with it. For instance, get out and enjoy some ice skating or tobogganing, or take long walks through freshly fallen fluffy snow. Just be sure you're warmly dressed and well-fortified with heat and energy-giving food. And that's where All-Sweet margarine can be a real winter pal. You see, All-Sweet is chock-full of good nourishment. Now, take sandwiches, for example. Did you know that All-Sweet actually doubles the food energy of bread? To say nothing about adding important amounts of vitamin A. Then, vegetables. Use delicate, natural-flavored All-Sweet. Just try carrots and green beans with All-Sweet savory goodness melting over them. And old-fashioned stewed tomatoes, served piping hot and flecked with little golden polka dots of melted All-Sweet. Yes, ma'am, that's the super delicious way to get real nourishment. So remember, on cold winter days, All-Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor, adds a lot of food energy, a lot of mighty good eating to all your meals.
Mortimer, that horrible young man has been here for 3 days. I can't stand him anymore.
Yes, I know, Agatha, I know. But Charlie is Dave Tompkins' son, and Mr. Tompkins is one of the most important beavers in the state. Now, I cannot risk insulting Charlie.
Why don't you? Why not, Daddy?
Thank you. If I got Mr. Tompkins mad at me, he could have me run out of the beavers.
Well, Mortimer, all I have to say is that it's soon going to be a question of whether Mr. Tompkins runs you out of the beavers. Or that son of his runs all of us out of our home.
As long as he's here, Harold won't speak to me.
Now, that is your own fault, Peggy. You're the one who told Harold that Charlie was Jimmy Jones.
I know it, Daddy. And I've tried to think of a way to get rid of Charlie, but I can't. Not without him going to Harold and telling him about Jimmy Jones. I've even consulted Jill, and she can't think of anything.
Yeah, well, when Jill can't think, the situation's hopeless. Well, I've got to get to work.
I'm going downtown with you this morning, Mortimer. I simply have to get away from that young man for a little while.
Yeah, all right, dear. All right, come on, let's go.
Morning, Peg. Hi, Jill. Come on in.
Peg, I think I've got it.
Got what?
An idea how you can get rid of Charlie.
Really? What is it, Jeff?
Well, when you told me what a practical joker this Charlie Fifth is, I got to thinking.
About what?
Well, something I read somewhere about how practical jokers can dish it out, but they can't take it.
Well,
don't you see, Peg? Maybe if we made Charlie's life miserable by playing practical jokes on him like he plays on everybody else, he wouldn't be so happy in your house. Maybe he'd leave.
Gosh, Jill, maybe you've got something there. Oh, the only trouble is I don't know any practical jokes.
Oh, don't worry about that. I've done some research in a book called 1001 Ways to Make Your Friends Hate You.
Ooh.
And I came all prepared. We can start right away.
Where is, he's taking a nap on the living room couch.
Come on, but don't wake him up until I tell you to.
Okay.
Like me. Peg has told me so much about you, haven't you, Peg?
Oh, yes.
Oh, she certainly has.
Oh, Charlie, what's that here sweater?
Huh? Where?
Right there.
Oh, Charlie, I didn't think you'd fall for that one.
Now, look, you stop that or I'll...
Oh, you what, Charlie?
Oh, wait till I get my hands on you and I'll show you. There, my foot!
As quickly as I could, Peggy. How is Charlie?
Oh, Daddy, I don't know. Dr. Schneiderman is still with him.
Oh, my goodness. Charlie must be very badly hurt. His skull fracture or something.
Oh, I hope not, Daddy.
How will I ever explain this to Charlie's father? What will he say when I tell him that you and Jill gave his son a fractured skull just as a practical joke?
But it was an accident, Daddy.
Jill tying his shoelaces together was not an accident.
Oh, speaking of Jill, she had to go home. Will you excuse me, Daddy? I told her I'd telephone her. She's terribly worried.
Of all the people this could have happened to, why did it have to be the son of a most grand exalted beaver like Dave Tompkins? Oh, hold it, Doctor. Hey, Doctor, how is he? Is he going to live?
You are Martin O'Neek, I presume?
Yes, how is Charlie, Doctor? Tell me.
The boy is going to be all right.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's fine. That's wonderful.
He receives nothing more than a little bump on his head.
Just a little bump. Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it. I was pretty worried for a moment.
If so, I see no reason why you should stop.
Well, well, what do you mean, Doctor?
You are a beaver, are you not?
Oh, yes, but how did you know?
Because I, too, am a beaver.
What?
Yeah. In the old days in Vienna, I was a member of Vienna Lodge 34 of the International Order of Beavers.
Is that so?
And I think you should know, Beaver Meek, that I am not proud to call you brother.
You're not?
No, I am not.
What?
You know the beaver's motto. Beavers are welcome wherever beavers are. Hospitality is the watchword of the beavers.
No, I know.
And why did you permit your daughter and that friend of hers to subject the Tompkins boy to such torture?
Torture?
I consider practical jokes the worst form of torture that can be inflicted on mankind. And when most grand exalted beaver Tompkins arrives from Sycamore Springs to be at the bedside of his son, I shall request him to suspend you from the organization.
To suspend? To suspend me?
Oh, just temporarily, of course.
Well, how temporarily, Doctor?
Just until you are expelled.
Now, Mortimer, quit worrying. Mm. You're just borrowing trouble.
I don't have to borrow trouble, Agatha. I have plenty already.
But I'm sure Mr. Tompkins won't suspend you from the beavers just because his son received a bump on the head.
But did you see how he glared when he came in? And why are he and Dr. Schneiderman staying in there with Charlie so long if they aren't talking about suspending me?
The beavers mean a great deal to you, don't they, Mortimer?
Oh, you know they do, dear. Why, my father was a beaver, my grandfather was a beaver, and his father before him was a beaver, too.
With all the beavers in your family, Mortimer, I don't understand why I've never had a fur coat.
You in here, Beaver Meat?
Oh, yes, Beaver Tompkins. Come in.
Where is Dr. Schneiderman, Mr. Tompkins?
Calling the police.
The police? Now, just a minute, Mr. Tompkins. I want you to know that Jim and Peggy wouldn't have played a practical joke on Charlie if he hadn't started it.
For 3 days we've put up with Tim and his practical joke.
Yes.
Well, he virtually forced his way into our home. Your son blackmailed our daughter.
My son did a thing like that?
Yes.
Oh, impossible.
You don't believe it?
All I'm saying is my son didn't do such thing.
What makes you so sure, Mr. Tompkins?
Because the young man you're talking about isn't my son.
He isn't.
Well, then who is he?
Charlie is Babyface Burns. The notorious confidence man who's been going around the state posing as my son.
Posing as your son?
That's right. Babyface Burns has been using my name to take advantage of the famed hospitality of the beavers and get himself free room and board.
But then Dr. Schneiderman's calling the police to come for Charlie. I mean Babyface Burns.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be suspended from the beavers.
Suspended?
Beaver Meek, for your gallant service above and beyond the call of duty in helping capture Babyface Burns, I, my capacity as the most grand exalted beaver, am going to recommend you for the Order of the Ring Flattail.
Oh, no. The Order of the Ring Flattail?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Beaver Tompkins, this is overwhelming.
Nonsense. Not a bit more than you deserve. You know, from the moment Dr. Schneiderman called me and said my son had been injured in your home, I knew there must be something wrong.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Right away, I said to myself, Tompkins, that can't be your son.
But how in the world could you know?
It's quite simple, Mrs. Meek. All of my children are girls.
No matter what other New Year's resolutions you make, here's one we hope you'll keep. To let all sweet, delicate, natural flavor enhance the enjoyment of all your meals. And we hope that you'll often take advantage of the fact that it's easy to color all sweet so that your fine family can enjoy their favorite margarine at its most beautiful, golden best. Or, of course, if you live in one of the many states whose laws permit the sale of colored margarine, you can buy yellow all sweet in solid or quarter pounds. And no matter which all sweet you buy, it will always taste delicious because it's made only from the finest farm fresh ingredients. So for real all-around quality in a table spread and cooking aid, get all sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
I've got a confession to make. You were right about Jimmy Jones.
You mean that he was a jerk?
No, I mean that you were right when you suspected that there really wasn't anyone named Jimmy Jones.
Is that so?
Uh-huh. He was just a figment of my imagination. I just created him to make you jealous.
Imagine that.
Well, aren't you going to laugh at me or something?
Gosh, no, Pig. Because I got a confession to make myself.
What?
You know that Francis person I went to the movies with last week?
Uh-huh.
Well, it was Francis a boy, not Francis a girl.
It was? Oh, why didn't you tell me?
Because I wanted to make you jealous. After all, Pig, you've been taking me pretty much for granted lately.
Meet the Meek, starring Forrest Lewis and Burl Vaughn, is a Les Weinrot production written by Sherman Marks and Ken Pettis. Be sure to join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor, again invites you to Meet the Meek. This is John Weigel speaking.
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.